Next Sunday, we're going to jump back into the Gospel of John. As those of you know, we've been in a series called Me Too, but next Sunday, we'll jump back into the Gospel of John. If you want to read ahead, read John chapter 2. I'm gonna do two sermons in that first part of John 2, because it's pretty familiar to some people, but maybe to others not. It's Jesus' first miracle, where he turned water into wine. But before we can talk about Jesus turning water to wine, I think I want to talk about something else, and that's just simple. We're gonna do Ecology 101, which is the study of wine. And so next Sunday, we're going to talk about alcohol and what that means for Christian people. Because my guess is, as some of you walked in this room, there's some of you have strong opinions about that one way or the other. And what we really need to worry about is not people's opinions, but what does the Word of God say as it relates to alcohol? And so I'm going to ask that you come with an open mind, open heart, and we're going to dive into the Scriptures. For some of you, that may go against some of the things that you've thought for years. For others, maybe not so much, but we'll see where we land, okay? So next Sunday, John chapter 2, hope you'll come and be a part of that. I heard about a pastor who got up in front of his congregation. He had a Band-Aid on his face, and he was getting really self-conscious about it, and so he just stopped, and he said, you know, some of you noticed this Band-Aid on my face. I just want to let you know that this morning, before services, as I was getting ready at home, I was thinking so much about my sermon that I cut my face shaving. Later, after all the service was over and the ushers had collected the offering, they found a note in the offering plate. Hey, pastor, next time, maybe think a little bit more about your face and cut the sermon. I'm cutting the sermon today for you, all right? I didn't cut my face, but I'm going to cut the sermon. Today, we're going to wrap up the Me Too message. It didn't happen to me, so don't feel bad. We're going to talk about I'm done doing life alone. And somebody might say, you know what, me too. And today, one of the favorite passages of Scriptures that I love is from Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul's writing to the church, to the believers, and he writes these words. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, not only about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but our lives as well. You know, at Northwestern Church of God, our mission is this. We want to connect people to Jesus and to one another. And so as we unpack this morning, I hope that some of you will walk out of here saying, you know what, I'm done doing life alone. And somebody else will say, me too. Here's real quick the message for this morning. I need others who are going to watch out for me. You need other people who are going to watch out for you. Maybe you've seen this sign posted somewhere in somebody's neighborhood. Neighborhood watch, we watch out for each other, right? That is a sign that says something to those who are trying to, you know, perform suspicious activities, obviously. But it's also a sign about the people who live in that neighborhood. It's a sign of community. It says, I'm watching out for you, you're watching out for me, we're watching out for each other. And that's kind of biblical because Paul said this, and look out for one another's interests, not just your own. What does it mean for you to watch out for somebody else and for them to watch out for you, right? I mean, it'd be like me going, hey, you got something right here, right? Or you got something stuck right there. Or you got something hanging right here. Or hey, pastor, you need to, okay, right? So we got to watch out for each other. What does it look like for us as a congregation, for believers in Christ, to just naturally look out for each other? It means there are going to be people who will warn me. There are people who will inform me, defend me, protect me. People are saying, I got your back, and I'm also going to help keep you on track. See, that's important, because I think if we're honest in this room, we all know we have blind spots in life. And we need friends who will see things for us that we don't see, like this and this and this and this, right? But even more than that, we need friends who sometimes will help us see things that we refuse to see, that we're not even willing to look or consider. We need real friends who sometimes offer that redemptive rebuke, but will also, in the next phrase, offer an encouraging endorsement. So the question for you this morning is, who do you have in your life that loves you enough, they will look you square in the eyes, and say, you've got this. I know you can do this. I've got your back. Maybe look you square in the eye and say, no, that's not okay. And I think you're a little off here, and I think you need to reconsider where you're headed with that understanding. That's wrong. It's not even biblical. We need people like that, that'll ask tough questions, that will not just stay on the surface, but will go subterranean in our hearts, that can look you in the eye and say, can I ask you something? Is there a habit that you've been hiding lately? Is there a hurt that you keep nursing? Is there a hang-up that you've been holding on to? You see, a real best friend won't allow their affection for you to keep them from serving your best interest. Even if by serving your best interest, their words that they speak to you might wound you for the moment. I mean, the proverb, the wisdom writer said it like this: wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. See, when a friend wounds you, they're trying to help you. They're trying to bring you hope and healing. Think of it like this. Think of it if you had to go in for surgery. The surgeon is not trying to inflict pain upon you. They're trying to heal you and bring wholeness to your body. Now, the cut of their scalpel to begin the procedure, it might hurt a little bit. Hopefully they'll use anesthesia, amen? But their intention is not to hurt you. Their intention is to get down beneath the surface and find that which needs to be removed in order that you might live a better, healthier, fuller life, like Jesus asked of you. And so sometimes I've had to have friends, even people in my life group, my small group, they may have to say some tough words, and those words may cut me in the moment. It might rent me with rebuke. It might confront me. They may correct me. They may have to challenge me. But if they are my friend, watch this. If they are my friend, it's for my good. It's not to hurt me. It's to make me healthier and better and fuller. You need other people that are going to watch out for you, okay? Amen? You also need other people who will wait, watch this, wait for you and wait with you. Wait for you. What do you mean, wait for me? Well, anybody ever struggle with your faith? Has there ever been a circumstance in your life that's caused you to question God? That you begin to doubt? You know deep inside that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but man, it doesn't feel like it lately. And you're beginning to question that. You need people who will come along beside you and wait for you. To wait for you as you grow in your faith. Because for some of you, you probably know it feels like, man, I took 2 steps forward, but then I took 3 steps back. I took 2 more steps forward, but then I took 3 more steps back. Who is it that loves you enough that will wait for you? Even though you made some choices that were not wise, and as a result of those choices, there are consequences that can be disheartening and maybe even destructive for you and for others. And yet they wait for you. They wait. They don't discard you. They don't say, we've had enough of you. Leave. They allow God the time and the space to do what only he can do in you and through you. I mean, the Bible says it like this. Jesus' brother said this in his book, James. If you know people who wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Wait for them. Matter of fact, get up and go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. See, I need others who will wait for me. I also need others who will wait with me. Who will wait with you when the crisis comes? Who waits with you when tragedy strikes you and those you love? Who is it that waits with you when life is inundated by this whirlwind of change and instability? See, some of you walk in here this morning and you're experiencing lonely, uncertain moments in your life. Perhaps for some of you, it's very discouraging. I mean, it is dark day scenario for you. My question for you is, beyond this gathering here on Sunday morning, who is it that waits with you Monday through Saturday? You need to have a life group. You need to have a small group of people that you do life with. And here's what I found to be true for me and for our groups that I've been a part of. If it's my struggle or theirs, we may not be able as a group to fix the problem. We may not be able to offer even to them a plethora of advice, a few things, but maybe not a lot. They may not even feel, or I may, if I'm the one sharing, I may not even feel like everybody in the room even completely understands what I'm thinking and what I'm going through. You just don't get it. You know what I mean? You've had those moments. But here's what they can do. They can wait with me. They can wait with you. And they can listen. They can pray with you. They can be present with you. And sometimes that speaks more than any words. The Bible says this. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. And if one part's praised, all the other parts share in its happiness. This morning, church, there are some of you, you need others who will watch out for you. You need others who will wait for you and wait with you. You also need others who will walk with you and walk with me. If you go back and you read the Bible, you'll see so many times the scriptures instruct us to walk. It talks about walking in light. Walking in wisdom, walking in integrity, walking in faith, walking in love. Talks to us about walk in the Spirit, walk in the fullness of new life, walk in Jesus, walk in Christ. We are instructed to walk, not just sit still. But notice that when we walk, we are never instructed to walk alone. God always walks with us, or we have others who do the same. The Hebrew writer said it like this, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and do good to one another. Let us not get up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more since you see the day of the Lord is coming near. I don't know if you've ever noticed this on Sunday morning at North Webster Church of God. You know, there was a service that was before you at 8 o'clock. There will be another one that comes in here after you leave, after this is over. But have you ever noticed on Sundays, very rarely, if ever, I stand before you and say, hey, so let's just forget the message. Tell me what's going on in your life this week. Who has a prayer request? Let's just go around and let's share requests. Let's pray individually, one for another. What did you learn from God's word this week? Or how can we pray for you specifically this week? See, we don't do that in here because we're too big in this setting to do those things. That only happens in small gatherings, in small circles. And so I want you to continue to think about this. Man, when you walk into this room on a Sunday morning, you're saying to yourself, I'm coming to participate in a pep rally of the saints. That's what this is supposed to be, right? Remember last week, in case you're hung up theologically, we talked about those who are in Jesus Christ. You're no longer a sinner, you're a saint. This is the pep rally of the saints. We get to worship, we get to sing, we get to break God's word, we get to be together. But after you leave, Monday through Saturday, you need to be active in a life group. You need to be active in a small circle, a small gathering of people where you can go deep relationally, where you can share your prayer requests, where you can ask for prayer, where you can say, here's what I learned this week. Here's what God has been teaching me. What's he been teaching you? And you have time for that dialogue. And I'll say this pretty strongly. I'm just going to put it out there. If all you're doing is coming to the pep rally and participating in it, but you're not meeting with other smaller groups Monday through Saturday, you're getting 50%. You're only getting half of the benefits of the church. You're only getting half of what you could get out of North Webster Church of God as being a part of the church. And I want to encourage you to reconsider that thought. Because the Bible says this, if one person falls, another can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall, they're in real trouble. Now, some of you in this room, you're at an age and stage of life, that verse makes a little more sense than some other people. Matter of fact, first service, I said, look, can we just call it what it is? Some of you people in first service, you're really kind of getting up there in age. And I said, I don't mean that dishearteningly, because guess what? If I live as long as you, I'll be there too. And as my body begins to fail me, as it is for some of you, guess what? Some of you are widowed. Some of you have been divorced and you never remarried. Imagine getting older someday. Your kids, your spouse is gone. and you fall on your home, who's going to help you up? This verse is really practical. See, for the person who has somebody, they can reach and help them. But the person who's all alone, they're in some real trouble in that moment. So who do you have that's walking with you, my friends? Now, I know there's some of you who say, yeah, well, I don't need all that small group stuff. I tried that once. It didn't work for me. Didn't work for us. Great. Not everything that I've tried has always worked either. Sometimes I fail or it fails or we fail. But get back in the game. Get back into a group that you can build and do life with. Some of you say, well, I just need me and God. Some of you think, oh, all I need is the pep rally, man. I'll come in, sing a few songs, get a message. I got it, and I'm out for the week. Can I just gently say this to you? It's not always about you. It's not. Maybe you're looking at it all wrong. You're looking about what small group or life group is going to do for you. Maybe you ought to look at about what you have to give to somebody else, because they can take advantage of your experience. They might learn from you rather than you just say, well, I don't get anything out of that. Oh, it's not all about you. See, my experience with God over several years is very seldom does God do anything just for you. Think about it. God is always building his kingdom. He's not building your kingdom. He's building his kingdom. And he's not just coming back. Jesus isn't just coming back again one day just for you. He's coming back for his bride, the entire church. And that's more than just one single person. Yes, you may be a part of that, but it's not just about you. And so understand this. When Jesus left this earth, he left three things behind. I don't know if you know this, but he did. He left three things behind. He left the Word of God, the Scriptures. He left us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he left his small group. He left the guys that he hung out and did life with. See, Jesus needed them. I need them. You need them. People who will walk with you, increase your effectiveness, and being a Christ follower. See, there's someone else in this room who's been down the road you're presently walking. There is. Somebody else in this room has been divorced. They understand that pain, that hurt. Somebody else in this room, themselves, or they know somebody, or they're related to somebody who has an addiction that they can't seem to break and shake, whether that's alcohol or drugs or pornography or food, it doesn't matter. They've been there. There's people in this room who have experienced the death of a spouse, death of a child, death of a parent. They've walked the road that you're traveling right now. There are people in this room who have lost a job before, maybe more than one job. They get what it's like. There are people in this room who have experienced health battles with parents, parents who have had Alzheimer's, parents who have cancer, parents who have then died. And you're saying, nobody understands what I'm going through. Yeah, there are some people that do. What it's like to be depressed and anxious. What it's like to lose your drive for life and your drive for Jesus. But then they caught fire again. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need to get close to somebody who had lost their drive for Jesus but caught fire again. And if you get close enough, might you catch fire too, again. These life groups, they help you. They hold you. They push you. They relate to you. They will try to understand you. They can encourage you and breathe life into you. You need people who will watch out for you. You need people who will wait for you and with you. You need people who will walk with you on this journey. And so that's the end of the message today. Almost. That's all that I'm preaching, though. And now what I want to do is I want to invite some friends of mine to come out here and join me on the stage. Some of you may have met Golden Seaton before. Golden is one of our life group leaders. And a little unique to Golden's group is this is a group of all women. And I've asked Golden to come and share. They've been together now for 15 years. Not all of them have. Some of the original ones. Some have since then gone on somewhere else. Some have passed away. There's a lot of different people on this in this group today, and so I'm going to just turn the stage over to Golden. Golden, we're just going to pretend like this is your living room for a little bit, and all these fine people are going to listen in. And I've asked Golden just to kind of, with her group, reflect on a little bit about how they have decided, these women, I'm done doing life alone. And we're going to get a kind of a look into their lives over the last 15-some years and what life group looks like for them. So it's all yours, Golden.
This is the quietest this group has ever, ever been. But then, after all, we are the Golden Girls, and we all know that silence is golden. Exactly. You're on your toes. So we've been together since 2013. We started meeting in upstairs in the old building. And lots have changed over the years. Names have changed. Faces have changed. Hairstyles have changed. Hair color has changed. Family structures have changed. But there's been a lot of things that have remained the same. We have loved on one another. We have laughed together. We have cried together. We have rejoiced together. We have walked down a lot of rough roads together. Avoided a lot of pitfalls together, and learn to, as Pastor Jeff has talked, watch out for, wait with, or wait for, and walk with one another. That's just what we do. When Pastor Jeff and I were talking about this, I thought a good picture to kind of wrap this all together, what we're going to share, would be, what if we were putting together a scrapbook? And some of you are scrapbookers. And you know you collect memories and you collect pictures and you collect thoughts and then you put them all together and it turns out beautiful. Even though the individual pictures might not be great, it's the composite that is worth carrying with you and sharing. So we've collected a lot of stories over the years. Lori Hickman has been with us since the beginning and she's collected a lot of great stories. So she's going to get us started here. Lori, what would you put in our scrapbook?
Well, I have five stories on my card. I'm going to only share two or three, so don't panic. The first story I'd like to share is our first outing that we planned going way back, I think it was 2004. We have some beach lovers in the group, so we were going to go to the dunes in Michigan and have a fun day together. But as God is a really creative calendar planner, that day that we had already pre-scheduled for a fun beach day was the day that my best friend was moving two states away. And I didn't really want to go to the beach and have fun because I was busy crying, and I had been crying for, I think, 57 days straight. So that day was planned to cry, day 58. But the girls said, come on, come with us. It'll be good for you not to be home and not to be by yourself. And so they just came along with me, and we didn't really talk very much about the big event that was making me so sad. And they just sat with me, and I remember that day. That needs to be in the scrapbook for the Golden Girls. And I remember that day was really cold, and I wore socks on the beach. So now we do still go to the dunes about every year, and I always have socks in my beach bag. Just that's kind of one of our crazy jokes. The next scrapbook page that is special to me is about our friend Phyllis Matz, and some of you may not know her. She has gone to heaven, but she was a Golden Girl, and she was actually my third grade teacher when she was Miss Bolt, and it was weird that I was in a Sunday school class with my third grade teacher, but that's the way this group operates. And she was terminally ill, and she couldn't come to Sunday school, and we had been missing her and trying to love her through to her finish line. So we decided to take Sunday school to her, and that Sunday, I think we packed food. I'm pretty sure we did because we always have food. And so we ate breakfast together, and then I think Golden had a little lesson, and we sang a cappella, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I will always remember just ladies' voices sitting in Phyllis's living room singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we were watching it in her life as she was running into Jesus' arms. And then this is a good segue, because in the scrapbook, I think there should be a Kleenex box, because we laugh till we cry, and we just plain cry sometimes. We just need, this is a good place to vent, and we found that it is a safe place. And I have taken a turn in that we used to call it the whiny chair, when it was your turn to be on the hot seat, kind of. But now I think it's probably more spiritual to call it the prayer chair. So every one of us has had a turn where we just shut down business, we put the lesson aside, and we just talk from our hearts, and the girls will come around and pray for you. And for me, it was, and especially this has been a 15-year-old prayer for our son Joel, who is a prodigal. He's away from the Lord, and these girls are believing in faith with me that we will see him come back to the Lord someday, and they're helping me hold on to my hope in that. And that one needs to be in the scrapbook as well. Enough talk from Lori.
Thanks, Lori. Mary's been with the group a while, too, and I've asked her to share some of her recollections and some of the things she'd like to include in the scrapbook. Mary?
When I first came to be a part of this group, I'd been going to North Webster Church of God for a while, and I came from a background where relationships within the church were not as close as North Webster Church of God. So I had a very difficult time finding my way. And I finally decided I was just going to have to put myself out there. And I found this women's group, and I thought, I'm just going to go one day. And I really didn't know very many people there once I got in. I knew some people, but they just took me right in, and all of a sudden I was a golden girl. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the diversity in this group, because some of us still have children at home that we're raising through school, and others are grandparents or great-grandparents. And this morning, Fran shared that she was a great-great-grandmother now. So someone has always been through something that I'm going through, or I can add to what they're going through, and we just carry each other through life. They've taught me what it means to love one another enough to really be accountable. And so when I bring things to this group, I appreciate Golden's gentle look and sigh, which is always my moment to stop and think about where I'm at and what I'm doing. Or Jackie, who just lays it out there. You know, one of her famous sayings is, you do know where that's going to take you, right? Yeah, I do. Cindy Thornburg, we still carry... Cindy was probably the queen at being frank and putting it the way it needs to be. And when she was done with her speech, she'd say, you know, I'm just saying. And we still carry that with us today. So I'm very grateful for the guidance of this group and the honesty and accountability that they bring. And I wanted to piggyback off of Lori a little bit, because it goes a lot deeper than just accountability and being a part of a group. When Phyllis was going through her last days, and we knew that she was going to be joining God in heaven, she taught me about prayer. And I had grown up in a family that prayed. Prayer has always been an important part of my life, but Phyllis took it to another level that I still carry today. And I remember one of the last times that we talked with Phyllis, she said, you know, I just have one regret about leaving Earth. She said, I was really looking forward to praying for my grandchildren, and I'm not going to be able to do that. And I remember just stepping back and looking at her, at where she was, and I felt like she was being taken way too early. She had such value here on Earth, and I thought, you know, would I be there in her position? But I took that to heart, and to this day, I still pray for Phyllis's grandchildren. And so it changed the way I look at prayer, but it also just reminded me that your prayers go on. And Phyllis taught me that. I still carry that with me today. So I'm very grateful for these prayer warriors that I do life with every day.
Now, I want you to know that this is just one of many life groups that we have in the church. All right? Obviously all female. We have a couple groups that are all male. We have a plethora of groups that are mixed co-ed sex. Some are married with young children, some are older, some are young marrieds and older. For example, I'm in two life groups. I meet with one group that's more around my age, just a little older than me, and then I also meet with about eight other couples who are a lot younger than me that are, just have young kids. You look at this stage right here with these ladies, you have single women on the stage, you have divorced women on the stage, you have widowed women on the stage. You have somebody, I went to school in high school with Mary around the same time, but right here on the front is Bev Carey, who drove me and her Jeff to freshman basketball practice early in the mornings, and she was our Sunday school teacher. She doesn't get to talk today. Because I don't know what she might say about
Bev,
us.
Bev, I've got the mic. Bev, you want the mic? You can have the mic.
But then you had other ladies, and we mentioned Fran Bowser, and Fran is a great, great grandma. And so what I'm saying is you have ages from 40 to 80s in this group, some with no kids, some with some kids, some with many kids, some with great, great grandkids. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to ask Golden if they would share, because of just the intersection of different ages and stages of life that these women have been in. And your group maybe look a little different and sound a little different, but each has its personality. So I know you had some more you wanted to share real quick, and I'm going to turn it back to you. But I want you to know that. We're going to give you a chance to sign up in a little bit.
All right. One more testimony, and that's from our newest member, Kathy, in a word.
Hi, my name is Kathy. I've been a part of the church for 14 years, and I had been looking for a group. And I am so blessed. I've been here 3 months, and I'm so grateful to have these women in my life with all the wisdom they share.
Thank you, Kathy, and we're glad to have her, too. There's two stories that really need to be shared if we have the time. One is, one of the girls mentioned Cindy Thornburg, and maybe some of you had her as a teacher at Wawasee. She was a part of our group, and, well, Lori, you knew Cindy pretty well. Share a little bit about her.
Well, if you had her as a teacher, and my kids did, you know that she was a little rough around the edges. She had a little swear jar on her desk, and she was her best customer. She would never claim to be perfect person. She was hilarious. We would always just, whenever she was in class, she made us laugh a lot. But we went through a study in a book called Goliath Must Fall. And toward the end of the study, there was a page that was basically the prayer of salvation. And Cindy really resonated with that page and that prayer. And actually, I wasn't in class the day she spoke about that. So I'm going to hand off to Golden. She'll talk a little bit.
Yeah, right. She came to class, and we were toward the end of the book, and she said, right before we could even get started, she said, you know, there's this prayer on page 112. She says, I prayed that prayer every day this week. And I was kind of taken aback, and I looked at it, and it was like, that's the salvation prayer. And then as discussions go, we kind of moved right on, and I thought, oh, I should have stopped and asked her about that. Well, the next week when she was there, I cornered her, and I said, Cindy, I heard you say that you prayed the salvation prayer last week, and her face was beaming, and she said, yeah, I did. Thank you all for being my guides. And guides, we were just being ourselves and sharing life and discussing and that sort of thing, just the ordinary. And I thought, wow, you never know when the influence that you have with people around you. Anyway, it was only a few days later that we got the word that she had been taken to the hospital and was in dire straits. She'd had a massive stroke. And 3 days later, she went to be with Jesus. It was like, oh, wow, if that doesn't stop you right in your tracks. And just so thankful for those moments that we shared together and for the prayer that she prayed. So we had been studying this Goliath book, as we called it, and we thought, you know, she's got students out there that loved her dearly. What gift could we give them? So we ordered enough copies for all our students to have and put a little note in the front of it so they could have the opportunity of getting to know Cindy's Jesus. There's one other story that I think we need to share, and slides, please. This group, I am so proud of this group, because whenever there is a need, and generally needs relate to women or children, that's just who we are because we're nurturers. And someone will bring a need to class and say, hey, I've got a friend that needs this, or hey, this is a bad situation. Instantly, someone will jump in and say, what can we do to help? Do they need food? There you go, the food again. Do they need money? Do they need transportation? What do they need that we can help with? And so during our Be Rich campaign in November, Kara, the new director at the Rose Home, was speaking, and she said, we would love to have people who would adopt a room for the new Rose Home. That was the old Anchor Inn bed and breakfast in Syracuse, and it was now kind of a halfway house. And so, wow, these girls were all over that. And in the next few weeks, we painted and decorated and hung curtains and went shopping and got furniture and put it all together and made up beds. And the last thing we did was to put this verse on the wall. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Wow, that was what we wanted those girls to see. When they wake up in the morning, there it is, right there on the wall in front of them. And we could say that with confidence because that's a prayer that we've prayed for one another. And we've seen evidences that it works, that our God does have a plan, and that he has a future, and he has a hope, and he has a place for each of us. And one of those places is right here with the Golden Girls. And let me just throw this out there. I have a feeling that there are women in this room right now that are saying, wow, I need that safe place. I need a place of belonging. I need a place of acceptance where I can just let it out and know I've got prayer support and people to love on me. I would just encourage you to speak with Pastor Todd, or maybe the Lord is nudging you to begin such a group, which would be awesome. Speak with Pastor Todd or speak to one of us, and we would love to encourage you along those lines. Thanks for listening to our scrapbook stories.
Would you thank them for being here with us this morning? And we'd be remiss not to give you that opportunity. Matter of fact, as you leave this morning, out in the lobby, there are three tables set up. We have three leaders that are trained and ready to go to lead a brand new life group. If you're not in one, you're like, I don't care what one, I just need to be in one. Sign up out there. Maybe what Golden just said, maybe you're sitting here going, you know what? I kind of like to pick some people I want to do life with, and we'll share the leadership. I would like to see about that. Pastor Todd S., stand up real quick, Todd. This is Pastor Todd S. He's the director of community life. He's our pastor of community life here at Webster, and he can answer your questions about that. See him if you want some more information. If you're like, hey, I'd like to start my own life group, can I do that? Talk to him. He'll be the one to talk to you about that. Last thing I want to say about this is this. Our mission is to connect people to Jesus and to one another. Did you catch the story? Sometimes people have to connect with one another before they get connected to Jesus. Cindy Thornburg was connected to these women. And because of that connectedness, these women helped connect Cindy to Jesus. You have no idea. Life group's not just about you. It's about helping others, being a part of their lives. And I can promise you right now, Cindy would be cheering like crazy. And Phyllis Matz is cheering like crazy. She's still praying for her grandchildren, by the way, Mary. Matter of fact, she's a part of that great cloud of witnesses that's cheering all of us on to hang in there and keep going. And so today, if you're struggling, if you're like, but I don't know if I can go on, then you need somebody to talk into you, to speak into you, to watch out for you, to wait with you, to walk with you. There's signups out back. Don't hesitate. Maybe some of you, really, if you're honest, you need to run back there and get signed up. Let's pray. God, thanks for these women that shared this morning from their heart. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, God. As I've heard story after story of what's going on in their lives, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for people like Golden who will step out and say, I'll lead the group. That doesn't mean I'm smarter than anybody else or myself in leading a group. We're not smarter. We're just the ones that are going to get it started. But we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. So thank you for Golden. Thank you for these women. Thank you for them being willing to share parts of their story. And Lord, there's other stories that need to be told and shared. And I pray now that even some who aren't even in a group will become in a group soon. And Lord, we'll hear some powerful stories about how you changed them and how together they are making an impact for your kingdom. I ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And God's church said, amen. Amen. Read John chapter 2. We're going to talk about alcohol and wine next week, and then the next week we'll get into Jesus turning water to wine. It's going to be interesting. Come back. We'll see you then.